This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. Saying what you're thinking. Mark Reardon.
Oh, the sweet guitar sounds of Eric Clapton on this version of White Christmas.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know.
You got a good Christmas record. Might feature a few more of these before Christmas. We have John Seiler coming up at the bottom of the hour, who has done some great work across the country, including at the University of Missouri, and exposing some of the DEI nonsense. But something a little different here at KU that he'll talk about. That's coming up at 5:25. I have an audio cut of the day as well. Just a reminder, we are loaded up here in the next couple of days. On Friday, the roundtable will include Jane Duker, Jeff Rainford, and David Barklage. We have George Gray coming in Monday for The Price is Wrong. He, of course, is on The Price is Right with Drew Carey every day, and he's a St. Louis guy. Our friend Tim Summer will talk music on Friday. My friend Johnny Holzman from the Well Hungarians is going to come in and play a little Christmas music on Tuesday, I think. That might be Monday. I'm getting confused. Fred's putting all this together because he's taking off next week, so we're trying to get everything settled before the end of the week. And then Sue is back on Monday. With us right now as we start the 5 o'clock hour, newly elected congressman for the 3rd District in Missouri, Dr. Bob Onder is here. Bob, how are you?
I am doing great, Mark. Great to be back.
You've got to be super excited. I mean, good Lord, you're going to Congress. You just got out of this freshman orientation. I want to hear a little bit about that. But this has got to be a little bit humbling and surreal for you, even a guy like you, right?
Well, it really is. Yeah, I am deeply humbled that the voters of the 3rd Congressional District chose me to represent them in Washington, D.C., and I really think we are coming in at an exciting time. I mean, with so-called unitary control of government, the House, the Senate, the presidency, we really have the opportunity to make some real changes for the benefit of the American people, really to take our country back after four disastrous years of Joe Biden and the Democrats in control.
So I want to get to some of the particulars of the real changes here in a couple of minutes. But I'm just curious about how this experience has gone so far, what the orientation was like. Did you meet any people that you were surprised by? I know that you were texting me, you were hanging out with somebody. I can't remember who it was, but you have people of all different parties in orientation, don't you?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we spend a lot of time, getting to know our colleagues by the nature of orientation, and you have caucus meetings. So, you know, certainly I got to know all of my freshman class and, you know, quite a few of the existing members. Prior to a Mizzou football game right before orientation, I had never met Wesley Bell before. I think he and I probably won't vote the same way on many things, but he's a great upgrade from Cori Bush. So, it was a great experience. I would say that was the best thing about orientation. I'll tell you, there was a lot of, you know, bureaucrats lecturing to you, but there was also a lot of opportunity to get to know my future colleagues.
Yeah, and you probably know more about this than I do, but I can't remember who told me, and I didn't know this for the longest time, but it was last year, earlier this year, when I discovered that all the members, for the most part, of the delegation in Missouri get together one time a month for breakfast or something like that. The only person that wouldn't do that is Cori Bush.
I heard the same thing. You know, and there are so many things that congressmen do that aren't particularly partisan. We should care about infrastructure funding for our state. We should care about our citizens who need passports or veterans benefits or who want to apply to our military academies. And you know, someone accidentally calls my office when they should be calling Wesley Bell's or Emanuel Cleaver. Our office has to work together on those sorts of things. So it's my understanding Ms. Bush was not easy to work with on those things.
Bob, do you have committee assignments at this point, right? Or are you still wondering about those?
Yeah, I do. We do have committee assignments. I'm very honored. I learned on Monday that I will be serving on the House Judiciary Committee and the Education and Workforce Committee. So, I mean, you know, really on the Judiciary Committee, we have some real rock stars like Congressman Jordan, the chairman, like Chip Roy, Tom Massey over on Education and Workforce, Chairman Wahlberg. Will be excellent. My former colleague Eric Burleson is on that committee as well. So these are really important committees. I mean, as you know, the Judiciary Committee is tackling the deep state, tackling the unconstitutional encroachments on our liberties, like surveilling American citizens, and of course, very importantly, the Judiciary Committee has been at point on the issue of border security and public safety.
So let's get into the the swamp at the moment, which is a possible continuing resolution. Here's the Speaker, Mike Johnson. This is what he said several months ago.
New spending, but we fought them off from that. We did add $231 million in new Secret Service funds, but everybody understands that that's critically important right now. We added strings attached to it. We said it was contingent upon the Secret Service participating fully in our oversight responsibilities and investigations right now.
Now, he goes on to say that, you know, that there's not going to be a continuing resolution, and apparently there is going to be. This is a little confusing. It's certainly confusing to me, so I'm not sure what's going on here. What would you say? And you don't really have a say in this right now, do you?
No, I don't have a vote on this. You know, it's funny on social media. A lot of people are urging me to vote no. But look, we really need to get back to the business of regular order and passing 12 individual budget bills as required by law. Now, there have been times when the Republican House has done that, and Chuck Schumer and the Democrats have just thumbed their nose at that. But we need to get back to the process of passing in committee, in the Appropriations Committee, 12 individual budget bills so that we're not saying, you know, look, here's a 1,500-page bill today, vote on it tomorrow or the next day, where these things have been hashed out over weeks and months. I think this government by continuing resolution a week before Christmas, that has got to stop.
Yeah, because this thing has got, 1,500 pages. There are provisions in here that are unrelated to, you know, things that are important, like American music tourism. I'm the biggest music fan on the planet, but I'm not sure that the federal government should be handing out a bunch of money for this, especially considering the time. So there are things in this that are uncomfortable for a lot of conservatives who certainly voted for Republican Congress.
Yeah, and there is a role for disaster relief, but this $100 billion, how is it being spent? Where is it going to? What departments, what agencies are getting it? How have those departments and agencies used other funds like FEMA? How have they used funds that they've been appropriated in the past? Did they use any of those funds to resettle illegal aliens? All these things would be asked in the course of appropriations hearings over weeks. Instead, Congress is getting dumped this CR at the 11th hour. And also, you know, many have pointed out that a true continuing resolution could just say very simply, we are continuing all funding levels at the same level as have been the case the last 6 months. But that's not what it says. It's 1,500 pages of detail. I haven't had a chance to go through and look at all the good, the bad, and the ugly, but this process has got to stop.
Yeah, well, to your point, that would be referred to as a clean CR, so I don't really understand why that's not being considered. You mentioned Chip Roy. He's a Republican from Texas. I like a lot of what Chip has to say when it comes to government efficiency, et cetera, and he comes out of a caucus meeting yesterday and says, Congress is fundamentally unserious about spending. As long as you have a blank check, you can't shrink government. If you can't shrink government, you can't live free. I completely agree with him. And Bob, you know, I have confidence in guys like you that are going up there and trying to change some of this stuff, because this has been going on for far too long.
Look, we Republicans have been celebrating Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy getting in there with Doge and, helping to make recommendations to downsize government. And here, the week before Christmas, we have this CR, looking at us in the face. Something's got to change. We are going straight toward the iceberg, and yet too many are on the Lido deck of the Titanic. panic, having a good time. No, this has got to change.
So Bob Anders with us. He's going to Congress in the 3rd District. What's the next step for you? Enjoy the holidays and then get to Washington shortly after the first of the year?
Yes. Well, we will be sworn in on the 3rd of January, and we've already been notified that which happens to fall on a Friday, and we have been notified that Speaker Johnson plans to keep us over that weekend to get to work on a reconciliation bill. You know, reconciliation is the process where spending bills can be written in such a way as to avoid the Senate filibuster. And what are we going to do on that reconciliation bill? Well, the top two things are, number one, border security, giving President Trump and the administration and ICE the resources they need to secure our border. And number two, to renew the Trump 2017 tax cuts. I think those are very important issues. And, you know, hopefully we'll get the ground running. In my committees, look, we've got to push back on the unconstitutional overreach of the federal government. And we need to get CRT and gender indoctrination out of our public schools. So that's important work we'll be doing on the Education Committee.
Awesome. I love it all. I think the priorities are right in line here with where certainly I believe and a good portion of the country believes we should be heading. So, again, congratulations.
I think it's what they elected us to do, Mark.
Absolutely. Yep. Congratulations on all this. I know it has to be exciting. We're going to talk many times, keep people in check in Washington in the swamp. But, Dr. Anders, thank you so much, and Merry Christmas, Bob.
Thank you, Mark. Merry Christmas.
All right. Take care. That's Bob Onder, who will do I think he's going to do a bang-up job in Congress. And, you know, I think it's good that he has a relationship with Wesley Bell, because I've talked about this before. Lacey Clay, I didn't agree with Lacey on a lot of things, but he was willing to come on here, talk about the issues. He agreed with me on a lot of things, on tax policy, et cetera. So I don't know if Wesley's going to be open-minded to some of these things like Lacey was, because he was not a progressive. He was certainly a Democrat, but he wasn't into the nonsense. He mentioned, I got a couple of directions I can take this in, and let me get into the gender nonsense here quickly, because you had the president of the NCAA, Charlie Baker, who was up on Capitol Hill in a committee hearing, and Senator Hawley was asking him questions about some of the things related to biological women playing against biological men, and this is how that went.
Your rules explicitly permit biological males in women's sports, and I am asking you, why is that fair to the women? All of these women on these teams had to forfeit games and therefore a chance to compete in the championship because of your rules. And I want to know, why is that protective of women? If a man, a biological man, wants to use their locker room, they just have to accept it. Or else the women have to go somewhere else. They've got to go find an alternative. Why is that fair?
That's a good question. Why is that fair?
Why do your guidelines allow biological men into women's locker rooms without the women's consent, without the women's foreknowledge? Why do you do that?
That's not what our guidelines say.
They do say that. I've got them right here. Your guidelines say that transgender student athletes should be able to use the locker room, shower, and toilet facilities in accordance with their gender identity. And here they are, right here.
And then everybody else should have an opportunity to use other facilities if they wish to do so.
Okay, so the burden's on the women. Your guidelines say that biological men can go in and use the women's locker rooms if they want to. What the women want has nothing to do with it. They're not mentioned in here at all.
That is, well, Senator Hawley had him. You know, he nailed Charlie Baker on that. That is stunning. And it's something that the country does not want. An overwhelming majority. This is a 90-10 issue. Listen to Senator Kennedy take a good shot here.
Why don't you take a position on transgender biological males competing against females? You just told me it wasn't fair.
The federal standard on this is one that we would work with you on if you wish to work on it.
Why don't you do it on your own?
Because we're a national governing body and we follow federal law.
Why don't you go to Amazon and buy a spine online and take a stand?
Well, that probably should have been cut of the day, and maybe it still will be, because that was awesome. Now, let's put this into perspective. Again, take a stand. How difficult is it? I'm still very frustrated. Not that it would have made a difference, because she got her ass kicked anyway. But nobody, even Bret Baier, put Kamala on the record on this issue of biological men playing against biological women. He brought up the trans issue. I mean, I'm not criticizing, you know, over-criticizing Brett, because he was in a situation where they showed up late and he's trying to get the questions in. So maybe it was something that was top of mind that kind of slid through. He did ask a question about that issue, but never on the issue of women's sports. Here's Riley Gaines. How many times does she have to say this? What happened to them is outrageous.
Being at that national championships in March of 2022, the Division I swimming and diving national championship, we had a, let me be very, very clear when I say this, we had a 6'4", 22-year-old man stripped down, naked, wearing nothing, fully naked, fully intact, exposing himself inches away from where we, as women, were simultaneously fully undressed. I can't even put into words the feelings of humiliation, the feelings of embarrassment. It's awkward. It's uncomfortable. It was a totally violating experience to be in that locker room and then to be reprimanded as women. If we even dared to question this policy out loud, we were the ones who were sent to sensitivity training. We were the ones who were told we needed to learn how to be comfortable feeling, how to feel okay with this. And so what Charlie Baker and what the NCAA has done, I believe, for lack of a better word, is truly criminal.
It is criminal. It's outrageous behavior, and they just don't seem to get it, even when they're called before Congress. So that's really one of the highlights from what happened on Capitol Hill today. And then there's this, and this kind of ties in with the spending issues, and I want to highlight, you know, we talk about the media. We had a great, by the way, if you missed my conversation with Scott Jennings in the 3 o'clock hour, please go back. Use the rewind function. It was one of the best. Scott's been a guest for a decade now, but we really talked about things that were related to the media. He's been invited to be a part of the editorial board at the LA Times, which I think is important, that a guy that has a conservative voice will be in the forefront of deciding some of these things at a major publication in this country. But unfortunately, for most of the media, now look, even today, I gave credit to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and their reporting on this St. Louis Public Schools situation. Thankfully, someone uncovered that. I don't know if it would have been uncovered. We do have some good investigative reporters. Lauren Traeger was on Monday. She's over at Channel 4. The dude on Channel 5 that kind of annoys me because he uses he, him, and all that stuff. But I think he's reported halfway decent stuff as well. But there's a guy out there with the Daily Wire, and his name is Luke Rosiak. And the Daily Wire is, Luke's the guy that broke a couple of these stories. He broke some of the things that happened in Loudoun County, Virginia, with the school board there. The Daily Wire also is the one that broke the story from a month ago that everyone tried to deny, including the New York Times, that said there was a FEMA worker. This deserves a lot of attention after the first of the year, that wasn't delivering the proper aid to people based on whether they had a Trump sign in the front of their house. So the Daily Wire has done some pretty good work here, exposing some of the nonsense in Washington. So here's Luke's report from, it might be from today, actually. Let me check on this. Yesterday. Okay. The Biden administration is in the process of hiring up to 1,200 DEI bureaucrats who could be embedded in the permanent civil service. We're going to talk to John Seiler about this in a couple of minutes. These are positions that have annual salaries of up to $310,000 a year. 33 of these positions were posted right after the election, the day after election. So on November 15th, for example, Health and Human Services advertised for a Deputy Assistant Secretary for Minority Health to promote health equity at a salary of up to $221,000. Man, it pays really well in this country to be a race grifter. We should all aspire to be race grifters because you can make a blank ton of money doing this. This candidate at HHS serves as the principal advisor to the secretary on minority health issues, just on minority. So the government is in the process of hiring all these people right now. They're trying to fill high-level jobs, some of them, you know, multiple six-figure salaries. The FDIC, this is another report from Luke, the Federal Deposit Insurance Commission is preparing to extend job offers for two separate $310,000 positions, both of which can work from home 3 days a week and will be paid to advocate for DEI. That's a bunch of nonsense. So, you know who should be covering this story? The Washington Post, the LA Times, the New York Times. But they're not. The Daily Wire is doing this. These people, as Luke indicated, are paid far, far higher than the median American income for what are they doing? What work are they doing? The Secret Service, which, of course, bungled its job over the summer of preventing assassinations has a DEI department that has or wants an editor, actually. So some of this stuff, like they have a writer in, by the way, they didn't even spell editor right. This is amazing. This is on the U.S. Department of Homeland Security under Secret Service. It says writer slash editor, E-D-I-T-E-R. So the intern, who's probably getting paid money too, that put that up as a job posting, can't even spell the word editor. And they want to fill a position of $310,000 salary, a director who develops equal employment opportunity, diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility, employee development, employee performance, and other personnel plans, processes, programs. So you have the Biden administration race grifting here, trying to fill these positions. Luke says you can sort and search all the DEI jobs for which the federal government is currently in the process of hiring at a link that he offered. In justice, drug enforcement, there is an equal opportunity specialist, program manager, $181,000. Well, we should apply for these. These are good paying jobs, right? And you don't even have to be in the office. Department of Health and Human Services, Office of the Assistant for Secretary of Health, Deputy Assistant for Secretary of Health. I highlighted that one. In the Education Department, the Office for Civil Rights, Supervisory Equal Opportunity Specialist, $191,000 a year. This goes on and on and on and on and on. And I don't know the ability for the new administration or a guy like Bob Onder or members of Congress to go in and say, no, we're not going to do this. But keep in mind, when paperwork gets signed and these federal employees nab these jobs, sometimes it's hard to take it away from them. But this is really, really stunning. And by the way, I think we would all agree that January 20th cannot come soon enough.
Get more at 971talk.com.